So when you think about talent, there's really three areas that I like to focus in on. And the first one is that builder mentality. Like, are you an entrepreneur? Do you have the ability to think creatively about complex problems you're trying to solve, and then have the mindset that I own this? Like, I'm the builder, I'm the creator, I'm the one that has to go and figure out how it's going to happen. The second thing is curiosity. Do you ask lots of questions? Do you have a growth mindset? And then the last one is the competitive mindset, the motor. And you get that chemistry, that DNA from an individual. It doesn't matter where you put them in the organization, they're going to figure out a way to make it happen.
What do the world's best CROs have in their playbooks? This is the place to find out. This is Reveal, the Revenue Intelligence Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Feldman. Hi, I'm Dana Feldman, and this is Reveal, the Revenue Intelligence Podcast. Each episode, we're focused on helping you build the ultimate CRO playbook. We promise to give you access to the most influential revenue leaders at the world's top companies so you too can achieve your revenue goals. And in this episode, I'm delivering on that promise with my guest, Shane Evans. Shane is the CRO here at Gong, and I may be a little biased, but Gong is an amazing company to be a part of with a strong track record. As a CRO, Shane is passionate about growing high-performing teams within new markets. His passion, coupled with his knowledge and expertise in the AI space, makes him a great addition to our playbook. Shane, welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have you on. Before we get into the details, I thought it'd be smart maybe to back up and do more of a state of the union for our listeners as we start this new chapter of Reveal. So Shane, I'm curious, as we kick off, how would you describe the state of the market right now?
First of all, Dana, super excited to be here with you. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled that you're going to have an opportunity to help leaders like myself understand what we need to be doing to get the most value and have the biggest impact across the different teams and companies that we're leading. So looking forward to the future of how this is going to unfold. As far as your question on the current state of the market, it's a super interesting time right now. Like, we look at the economic situation, like, markets are super uncertain. The rules of the game have totally changed. You know, what used to be growth at all costs has really shifted to much more efficiency. Like, companies are looking for organizations that are using their resources in the most efficient way possible, which leads to all sorts of different behavior around buying, around hiring. On top of that, because there isn't as much opportunity out there, you see a lot of situations where even competitive markets have shifted. And it seems like almost every company is claiming or suggesting that they do what other companies do. And it's created a lot of confusion and a lot of shifting around. And so not only have the rules of the game changed, but there's a lot of shifts in how teams are operating. And so I would describe it as a lot of uncertainty, a lot of ambiguity. That's one way to look at it. Our founder and CEO, Amit at Gong, gave some great advice to us recently where he said, regardless of the uncertainty, it's an amazing time to go and create your own destiny. And I thought that was just such great leadership and a great comment from him for our team that despite all the ambiguity, some of the best companies are forged when it is uncertain. And so I think it really depends on your outlook of what you can do regardless of market. It's what's your team doing and how are you operating. And so I think that's the current state that a lot of us find ourselves in. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of ambiguity, but a lot of opportunity at the same time.
I think what you're saying is really resonating, especially as you've come into Gong and brought a lot of those themes to us. I'm curious, when you think through just all the shift that has happened in the market, the investors really switching from this, where we had like all the resources we could ever want, to really an efficiency mindset, where do you as a CRO, where have you kind of focused first and foremost as you've come into Gong around those themes?
I'll put this into three categories. My first focus is around customers. And it sounds a little bit cliche even as I say that, but spending a lot of time talking to and getting to know our customers. What are they seeing and experiencing firsthand? What are the concerns that they have? The next I go to our people. Dana, you and I talk about this a lot. You know, people is our most valuable asset as an organization. And we're very proud of the team that has been constructed here. I've been grafted in and been adopted by the company, which has been an incredible experience. But the culture here that was created by our people is incredible. And so the second area that I focus in is making sure that we have a very strong culture, a very healthy environment where people can do their best work. And that really is every single hire that we make is either contributing or taking away from that culture. And so the second big area is really around people and around talent. And then the third area is around execution. I like to call it operating rhythm, but it's how we're working with one another, how we're interacting and engaging across different teams, and making sure that we are being thoughtful about not over complexifying or over engineering any of our processes, but we're really trying to make it as easy as possible for our teams and for our customers together to do great work. Those are kind of the three areas that I've been focused in.
There was something that you didn't say, but that I hear from you a lot, is this concept of a builder mentality. And you didn't just touch on that now, but I think it'd be really interesting for the listeners to learn a little bit more about that mindset that you really preach quite a bit and live as well.
Yeah, it's funny you pick up on that. So I put that in that second category around people. And by the way, don't get too comfortable, because I could easily flip this back on you. You know every bit of this stuff as much as I do. So I might throw the baton back your way if we're not careful. They did give you a fancy microphone for this.
They did. So we might need to make sure that it's fancy.
When we talk about talent, one of the things I found, so my passion has been in category creation companies, where you come into a company and the category really isn't defined or created yet. And you have an opportunity to go shape and mold and create what that's going to look like. And you have an opportunity to teach businesses and to teach people a whole new way of doing business. And so one of the challenges in those environments is when you show up to work in one of these companies, a lot of the systems, the processes, all of the infrastructure that you're going to need, it doesn't exist. And so when you hire talent, there's a lot of people that are so experienced, and yet they've worked in environments where it's very mature. And so they have a lot of the process figured out. They have a lot of the supporting teams that help them be successful. And when you're working in an early stage company and you're creating a new category, a lot of that doesn't exist. And so when you think about talent, you and I've talked about this a lot, there's really three areas that I like to focus in on. And the first one is that builder mentality. Like, are you an entrepreneur? Do you have the ability to think creatively about complex problems you're trying to solve, and then have the mindset that I own this? Like, I'm the builder, I'm the creator, I'm the one that has to go and figure out how it's going to happen. The second thing that we talk about a lot around talent is curiosity. Do you ask lots of questions? Do you have a growth mindset? Are you constantly pushing on that why, or what could we be doing differently? And then the last one is really the competitive mindset, the motor. Are you consistently driven to be at the top of the leaderboard? Are you someone who wants to be a winner? Are you a champion? And you get that chemistry, that DNA from an individual. It doesn't matter where you put them in the organization. It could be customer success. It could be sales. It could be partnerships. Heck, you could put them in product and engineering. Like, they're going to figure out a way to make it happen. And so not every candidate's going to spike in all those areas, but those are kind of the three big building blocks that I've seen in really top performing folks. And so you're trying to build a high performing team. You got to make sure that the talent that you're bringing in exudes some of those characteristics in order for them to be successful. When you're in those early phases, the early innings, when you're trying to figure stuff out, that type of DNA can really carry the day.
I love that. You have taught me a lot around that. And I think we are living it here at Gong too, as we think about that talent bucket. So shifting us a little bit back to State of the Union, I'd love to get more of your viewpoint. You mentioned around the market dynamics and increasing competition. What initiatives are you implementing to maintain and grow our market share here at Gong?
So from a growth perspective, the fun part about being in a category creating company is there's never a shortage of areas that you can go and grow in. So we think about like new GEOs, new geographic markets that we can go into. So international expansion, something that we continue to monitor. There's all sorts of new vertical use cases. A lot of people think about Gong in the traditional sense of being for sellers, and yet we're seeing all sorts of new use cases pop up in many new industries. And then you think about competition and seeing how organizations are using conversational intelligence. So this notion of capturing interactions and being able to extract out of that and to distill down the key themes or topics, looking at a group of performers and understanding like what makes the top 10% perform better than the other 9 deciles that you might be looking at. And can you start to identify motions and attributes to move people up in that continuum? And I'm going a little bit to Gong here, because as we talk about competition, one of the capabilities I had not used prior to joining Gong is this feature of a smart tracker. And for those listeners that haven't seen this before, you can actually configure a smart tracker to pick up on different themes, different words, different categories or concepts that are being talked about. So it could be a certain competitor that you're wanting to keep an eye on. It could be a certain conceptual solution that you're wanting to understand hey, when a seller or when a success person positions something a certain way, I want to see what the reaction is from the customer. And so with these smart trackers, I literally get notifications in real time when a conversation is occurring and this is being discussed. And what that allows for in the moment is I can really debrief and understand what's happening with our entire team, whether it's an individual contributor, whether it's leaders of people. And then the beautiful part is we can aggregate all of that up and understand, like, what are the themes that people are talking about right now? What's important to them? And so as we think about growth and competition, it allows us to be incredibly nimble and we can pivot very quickly. And in my career, it used to be that being able to pivot once a year was sufficient. Like, we get to the end of the calendar year and we start looking at, hey, what went well? What did not go well? What are the playbooks we need to be thinking about? What are the adjustments we need to be making? And what's crazy to me is how that has been compressed. And so now it's turning into like a monthly and even sometimes a biweekly cycle where we're changing things in real time. We're seeing dynamics from a competitive standpoint and we're able to adjust to that. It's like having the game tape from a game and choose your sport, a preference, and you can watch that unfold and then make adjustments for the following week as you're preparing the team to go back out on that field to compete again. And so I really view competition as a major opportunity if you're able to get real-time insights and then make the adjustments and the pivots that you need to make. And that's what's been so fun for, and I think you've experienced this as well, when we are using a tool that is built and designed for people like us, and we are able to do our job so much more effectively because we're getting that information so much more rapidly, and it's not being diluted or biased through a seller that only wants us to hear the good stuff. They don't want to necessarily focus on the challenges they're facing or the competitive threats they're up against. And so it just brings a level of transparency, of realness, and then of real time that we can actually do something with that information. And so if you like competing, if you like playing the game, I don't think there's ever been a better time to be in this sport of growth, in this sport of category creation. And it doesn't matter where you're at, like, it would be applicable based on the market that you're in.
I think too, and I don't know if you realize this either, but it's been really fascinating to watch by using the tool and the technologies you're talking about, how our forecasting calls have shifted from what we've all known to generally being pretty intense inspection calls in past lives. And in your weekly forecast call with your senior leadership team, we are able to use that time to pick up the trends, to pick up gaps, and then solution together or ideate together or move the ball forward for the entire company. So what you said really does resonate with me because I see how we're evolving what typically has been a very different use of that time in past lives, probably for you and I. I just mentioned our forecast call, but I would love to know, how are you thinking about optimizing revenue forecasting and even resource allocation just to make sure that we have that consistent revenue growth?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I'm going to come back to, like, we got to keep being open to, hey, what are we missing? And not be rigid. I've worked for a lot of sales leaders, both great and not so great. This level of rigidity, like people being stuck in what they've always known or what they've always done, it's not going to play out well in the future for those folks. Like, we're in markets that are evolving very rapidly. And so I'm going to share with you two thoughts that I have around, you know, as we think about our revenue forecasting, this is constantly changing and iterating. So I want to make the point of, we need to be very curious. We need to be very flexible in making sure that we're not missing out on things that could make us better. We talk about, like, cadences and forecasting, and it could be any meeting that we're having on a reoccurring basis. This really gets back to both the hierarchical structure. And then as we think about people understanding what their role and what their responsibility would be in that hierarchical structure. And so what I want to hit on, I've worked in a lot of companies and I've talked to a lot of our current customers and even other, like, prospects. And what I'm finding is that every organization is set up differently, not a big surprise, but a lot of functions are very siloed. And so an example would be operations. You know, a lot of companies have ops for marketing. They have ops for sales. They have ops for success. They have FP&A operations. And what you typically run into is that everyone has their own set of data points they bring to a meeting. And so it turns into this arms race around data wars of people showing up feeling like they've got the answer. They've got the right data. Like, your data is wrong, and never ends up resulting in a healthy or aligned discussion how you're going to market. And so one of the things I think we need to do is we think about any processes, it could be forecasting, it could be whatever, that we're actively breaking down silos. And so this notion of having like a singular operations team that spans the entire company, like one source of truth, and that should go from FP&A through every function all the way through, and pulling from one data set and looking at a consistent set of charts and metrics that you would track for the organization. So I think that's one piece, is making sure that from a hierarchical perspective, you've got a group that spans everything. And then the second thing is roles, responsibilities. The game's changed. And so what that means is, as companies went through scale, what you saw is folks just throwing bodies and even titles like, oh, I think we need an X and or a Y. And the people would just start throwing titles into the mix and you start hiring people, but there's not a clear definition of what their role is and what they're going to be focused on from responsibilities or from a tasks perspective. And so then there ends up being all this overlap. And I think if we were to go and peel back the top layer of any company, we would find a lot of redundancy across companies where folks are confused about what their responsibility is and how that fits in with the rest of the organization. So you end up with these like cogs that aren't even touching each other and just cycling. Like everyone's busy, but are we really connected? And are we really in harmony and symmetry with each other of how we're driving forward? And so you asked the question about forecasting, but I think we could take any business process and we got to look at, do we have the right structure in place from an org perspective? Does it span the entirety of it? And then do individuals that fit into that structure understand what their role is going to be? And if you're going through explosive growth of a company, like you're probably going to break this every 12 to 18 months, which means you need to be intentional about defining what that should look like. And so as you think about optimizing your efficiency, I don't think business is hard or super sophisticated, but it does take some time to break it down in some of the simpler pieces and try and give people some perspective and insight on how they should be doing their job. And then once they understand that, what's beautiful to me is when you see this start to move in harmony, like people start getting very synergistic with one another. And it's like folks in a boat that are rowing. Like it's just getting those people in the right cadence and flow. And it's pretty incredible to see what teams can do when they get to that place.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we just went through that here at Gong. And I think what was interesting to observe from my viewpoint was maybe what stops a lot of organizations from taking that step or defining clearly those roles is it's like a certain load of work you've got to do to get there. And maybe some are thinking, gosh, this is going to create a lot of chaos or questions or things amongst the team. But we had the exact opposite, which was almost like a sigh of relief that everyone then knew their exact role and responsibility. And so to your point, that synergy is going so much faster than probably I would have even guessed. And like everyone is really appreciative of the clarity. So I love that. You know, I'd love for our listeners to get maybe some more tactical insights from you, specifically as it relates to AI. It's everyone's favorite topic. And so it's top of mind for everyone and certainly for our listeners. So how are CROs viewing the role of AI for their organizations?
Yeah, great question. And it's interesting that this is one that most CEOs are trying to figure out, like when they're put in front of their board or, you know, if they're a public company and they're having to go out to the market and give periodic updates, like the favorite question that analysts or board members have for leaders are, how are you using AI in your business to become more efficient and more effective? And so I think a lot of us are starting to feel the exhaustion from this question, like coming over and over again and not having something that might be super tangible and simplistic that we can point back to. And if I could just for a moment, like a quick tangent, the why behind I'm so excited about Gong is because of the contextual data that we are helping companies capture. And the reason this is important in the discussion or the context of AI is we have no shortage of data. So if you go look at any system that we have today, there's all sorts of data that can be pulled from. And there's great like structured data, and then there's a lot of unstructured data. And I think a challenge that most people don't realize with the unstructured data they have access to, the majority of that is very biased in that a lot of that comes in the form of people that are updating systems. It could be sellers updating notes in an activity or putting next steps in for an account record. It could be in our hiring systems, the information that's going in for candidates. Again, a lot of that is biased on what I experienced as the note taker or the taskmaster. And then I'm a slave to the system that I have to go back and spend all this time updating. But a lot of that is based on what I want people to see and hear or what I interpreted. And so as we think about AI and the data sources that we have, the models that are going to be created and pull from, they're only going to be as accurate and reliable as is the source of data and the completeness of that data. And I think the reason when I started first meeting with the founders at Gong that I got super excited, I could see where markets were heading with AI. And I was able to understand and grasp the fact that the majority of the information that we're capturing today is actually straight between the interactions that folks are having in email, on phone calls, in meetings like this one that you and I are having that are, you know, web interactions. And we have a number of people that even walk into a room and just pop down their cell phone and start capturing that interaction so that they can then not only have all the contextual stuff that happened, but then they can use that to then get insights out of as they move forward. And so as we think about AI, we need to be very thoughtful about, one, the richness of the data that we have to pull from. And then the second piece I was going to hit on is our ability to interpret that information. And a lot of folks will claim, hey, we're capturing the information, but do you have the language models? Do you have the ability to interpret that contextual information to know I'm not just using words, but what's the sentiment that is coming out of my mouth? Is it positive or negative? Is it moving towards us doing something together as partners, or is it moving away from? And sometimes words don't necessarily capture the essence of that. And so all of that then goes into AI and allows us to get out of that insights. The ability to count on and have reliable insights coming at us is going to really be based on the type of content that we're pulling from. So now we get down into insights. My ability to know if a deal is going to close as a CRO is going to be very different if I'm getting richness of data and then using that to then interpret where am I exposed on this deal? Where do I as a leader need to provide coaching back to my team where they could be exposed or struggling? And so as we think about how AI should be changing our world as CROs, it should be making us more targeted and more surgical on where we need to focus. It should be automatically identifying those areas where we are deficient. When I wake up in the morning, I shouldn't have to go and log into systems and try and identify like, hey, what should I be working on today? With where AI is going, it should prompt me. Hey, Shane, as the leader for this company, here are the areas that we've noticed that you can have an impact. And that is a system that is self-learning and then self-prescribing on where people should be spending their time. And we're there. Like, that's where we're at today. If we have the right source of data that we're capturing and we're training those models in a way that allows us to then make our lives easier. And so this starts with everything as simplistic as a follow-up email that you would send to someone after an interaction. It also would go all the way down to no longer having to update account records for what is the stage this opportunity is at? What is the likelihood that it will actually close? Where are the three or four areas that we are most exposed for it not closing? And so this is for me where life gets really exciting because we have the ability to have a lot more guidance and intuition, and it allows us to focus on these interactions we want to be having as opposed to struggling to know where we should focus and then spending countless minutes and hours of trying to get enough contextual knowledge to actually be helpful and relevant in that interaction with our teams. And so AI, it's already done great stuff. A lot of organizations have not yet realized the potential that it has, but you're going to start seeing more and more people realize, hey, this is not just about productivity and it's not just about predictability. It actually gets us into a place where we can really drive targeted and very focused growth for the organization based on how we're getting those insights back from the system.
I always think about it that it's interesting as a CRO and those of us that are in revenue roles, we've been carrying a tremendous amount of responsibility on our shoulders to be bringing revenue into the company, but we've been pretty blind up until AI came about to really understand like what is going on from these interactions in our business. And then we've been spending or asking our teams to spend a lot of time, which to your point earlier in this discussion around driving efficiencies and productivity, like we've been asking them to spend time on trying to get us those answers. And so as a CRO, I think many haven't yet understood where AI plays in their world, but I think a lot of what you've touched on is around how do we, or how do you as a CRO finally get that insight, visibility, and sort of the non-opinionated pieces about your business because it's there to capture it all. So I love what you were talking about there with some of those examples. I'm curious as a CRO as well, do you have a favorite example? I know of one that you did with my team and I, but do you have a favorite example of where you used AI or AI surfaced something to you in a deal with a team, helped you ideate something, anything just pop out to you that's your favorite?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. What's been fun for me, and I want you to talk about the experience that we had together because that was really cool. I was not prepped for that meeting. We were going to spend a lot of time just getting me up to speed, and we had a really cool interaction with you and your team. And it was my first exposure to this feature that we have in Gong now. before we get to that, what I will say that has made my job really fun the last 6-9 months is that it's almost daily that I'm having the opportunity to have a new insight pop up. And mm-hmm. it's about me being proactive and understanding how to use tools to actually go in and extract insights out of the data. And so this is going to go back to this mentality of being a builder, being curious, being very driven. It's up to us as revenue stakeholders to continue to press the envelope on what we could or should be doing, how we can use tooling to make our lives easier and to make it more predictable. And so there's things that are happening every day that are starting to give me more confidence in where we're going. I'm talking about just our business in general. And that's what gets me excited and making it fun right now. But why don't you tell the team here what happened? Because I think you had a different experience based on that call. I don't think you knew what I was doing behind the scenes as we were going through a deal review. And I think this is a good example of where AI really unexpectedly helped both of us get where we needed to go in a much shorter period of time.
We were in a deal review meeting for an existing customer that had been with us for a couple of years. You and I, timeline-wise, were both pretty new to the role, the account. And so as we were talking through it with the rep, you had asked, what are the goals of this company and what are their greatest challenges? And I didn't know at the time, right? I was pretty new to it. And so you went into the Ask Me Anything in Gong and asked the question, what are the top goals? What are their greatest challenges? And Gong spit back to us, and this is from years of them being a client with us. So it analyzed all the interactions and it spit back to us what their challenges and what their goals were. And that deal review really changed because typically the time would have been spent eking out those answers from the rep. And instead the AI had them right there. And then you and I were able to immediately go into strategizing, coaching, ideating, all of that with the rep. And what is really near and dear to my heart out of all of that is like, yes, you and I could probably look at it as like, how cool is it as leaders? We got that insight. But what I often think about as like a servant leader is, how much better was that experience for the rep in the meeting? Did we use a better use of their time? And most importantly, did we add value to the rep? And we did because we got to the actual data we needed to be able to actually strategize. That was my experience with it.
So I'll just add to what I experienced on my end. And I want to be clear, I feel bad. Like anyone listening to this, I'm not trying to make this a sales pitch for Gong by any stretch. You and I both work at the company.
Yes.
This is our life. And so sometimes we go a little bit too far. But regardless of what platform or tool you might be using, I think there's always an opportunity to figure out how we leverage that more fully. What I had experienced that day, I was coming into a deal review. The team had spent probably 4 to 6 hours on putting together documentation. With my schedule, I had not been able to read everything, which I feel terrible about. Like the team took the time to put all this documentation together, and I didn't even have the respect to go and review that. So that's on me. And yet we had this new feature that had just come out, and we call it Ask Me Anything or AMA. And you can type in any question on a deal and it spits something back. And I remember typing in like, what are the goals and objectives of this company? And it spit back in a couple seconds what they were. And so I remember asking that question to the rep, and the rep, I think, had like 60% of the answer accurate. And then I was like, well, what about this? Like, ooh, that's good. You mentioned that. That's actually the higher priority. Now, I wouldn't have known to go there unless I had typed that in and the tool had led me down that path. But all of a sudden, like, ears are perking up from the rep. And I think even from you, you guys are like, wait a second, how is he knowing like where to dig in? The next question I asked was, hey, where are we at risk on this deal? Like, what's going to get in the way? And it spit it right out, like the 2 or 3 areas. What I recall is I remember those were not areas that the rep wanted to focus, because I think the rep was a little bit concerned that they were going to be exposed for us not being in a better position. So we had ended up having this amazing call. And I remember you called me afterwards. You're like, hey, what just happened? Like, how did you know to go there? And I remember telling you like, hey, I used the AMA feature and it was guiding me through like where I needed to focus in and what questions I need to ask. Now, this is us just kind of unprompted asking questions. As we use this technology, we're not that far away from the place where I would show up and it would say, hey, manager is joining the call. Manager, this is where you should focus. These are the questions you should be asking. And so now the teams no longer have to spend hours upon hours of preparing information. What's been super fun for me is I can just throw out questions like, hey, who's the champion on this account? Who's the economic buyer? And it looks through all the contextual interactions and it comes back and it tells me those things that I need to be focused on or context that I may need to have to know where I can help. Where should I be leaning in to help? And so I think it's a really good example of where AI in real time is helping teams to have a more rich and more beneficial discussion, a more strategic discussion, as opposed to what might be perceived as just an inspection where people feeling like they have to show up to do the work. And so it actually makes it a lot more fun. Even as you and I are talking about this, like, it's been more fun for me in these types of interactions because I feel like we're helping each other as opposed to having to check up on each other.
Agreed. No, it was a really fun moment for us in that deal review. Okay, so Shane, before we wrap our conversation, I'd love for you to answer one last question as succinctly as possible. As a CRO, what is your unfiltered hot take on something you're seeing in revenue teams right now?
Here's the hot take. And I think it's a theme that we've been talking through throughout this discussion. In the next 18 to 24 months, I believe that we are no longer going to have to, as revenue professionals, and hopefully everyone puts themselves in that category. You could be the CEO of a company. You could be the chief product officer. Like, everyone's responsible for growth and everyone should be having conversations and interactions with customers. But I think that we are going to see an environment where we no longer have to capture any notes, any follow-up activities. We don't have to go spend time updating records on new stages, next steps that are going to occur. All the interactions will be captured and it will all flow directly into whatever system you want to use. And then we'll get guidance on here's what we need to do next, or here's the next step that we should take. And I think it's going to allow us to then focus truly on having meaningful interactions with one another, helping one another make good decisions, pushing and challenging each other, as opposed to feeling like we have to be stuck in this process of, as a seller, trying to rip a prospect through a funnel or through stages. And we can actually much more intuitively help each other get to outcomes and have much greater business impact. And I really believe it's going to totally change the way that selling is done. The other hot take I'll have, because you asked one, I'm like the second one I would give you, is there's all this talk about, well, AI is going to replace people and we'll no longer need sellers. We'll no longer need support staff. And you're hearing about this already where companies are using AI to handle support questions as they come up. The reality of it is, if our success teams are orchestrating the right interactions, it's not about answering tickets. It's about helping to educate folks on what they could be doing differently, what other companies are doing differently. It's about creating those links and those relationships so we can really have more quality interactions to drive to those outcomes that we're after. And so it has me incredibly optimistic and excited about the future. We get to redefine how growth is going to occur in the future. Selfishly, I think we're right at the heart of it. We're right in the middle of everything, which is incredibly exciting.
I love that. I mean, I don't know if there is a sales professional out there that would not give a two hands up hallelujah for taking away all the manual process and things that we've been asked to do forever and a day. So I love this. Thank you, Shane, for allowing us to take the time and have this conversation.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate the discussion. You already know that I think you're incredible, an absolute rock star. I love working with you. I'm so excited for you to be able to do this podcast with all sorts of revenue professionals to help bring the most modern learning and ideas back. And I'm excited. Like, I will not miss an episode going forward. So thanks for having me and super excited to watch this unfold as you take the baton and run with it. So best of luck.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. Follow Gong on LinkedIn for our tactical takeaways from this conversation, including the best plays to add to your playbook. For more revenue leadership insights, check out gong.io/the edge. And be sure to follow the show to never miss an episode.